The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He told them many things in parables. Thus Matthew introduces a chapter in which he records 7 of Jesus' parables. This was a new thing in Jesus' ministry. In the beginning of his ministry, he hadn't used parables. In the verses that we skipped over in today's gospel reading, the disciples ask, and Jesus answers, the question, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? I've heard it suggested that Jesus used parables to help get his point across, to make his teaching more understandable. That's just about the opposite of what Jesus says as he answers his disciples. This is why I speak to them in parables, he says. Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. Jesus began using parables in the face of growing opposition to his teaching. With the parables, he could obstruct the point, thus making it much more difficult for people to object to what he said and attack him for it. Without faith, the parables were just stories. No spiritual meaning was perceptible. Consider our parable today. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell in good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's only that last sentence of the parable that suggests there's anything more here than a vignette in the life of a farmer. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear a simple story about a sower, or listen and perceive a meaning that goes far beyond familiar agricultural practice. That Jesus intended the latter rather than the former is clear in the explanation that he provides later on to his disciples in private. This is a parable told against many who were gathered in the crowd, those who had closed their hearts to Jesus' word, or who initially embraced it, but quickly fell away, or who were diverted from his teaching by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus' parable of the soils challenges you to consider how you hear his word, what sort of soil it finds in your heart. Having heard Jesus' explanation of the parable, you know the sort of soil that you ought to be, the sort of soil you'd like to be, good soil, productive soil, soil which not only receives God's word, but free of rocks and thorns, produces an abundant harvest for the Lord. Is that the way it is with you? Or does the hard-packed soil of the path ever characterize your heart? Does God's word, when you hear it, penetrate always and only into your heart and then grow there? Or are there times when his word hits your heart and bounces right off, doesn't even rest there long enough to germinate? I think this is the sort of hearing of God's word people are describing often when they say that they're not being fed at their church. Now, of course, it could be true that they are not being fed if what is being spoken to them at church is not God's word. But if God's word is being preached faithfully to them, the law condemning them as real sinners who commit genuine, honest-to-goodness sins, which have earned them death and hell, and the gospel proclaimed as good news for them, a declaration which forgives them and opens heaven to them. If God's word is being preached faithfully to them, then good seed is being sown. In that case, the problem is that they're hardened against it. And Satan rejoices to snatch that word away, God's good seed, lest they turn and are saved. Does that sort of description ever characterize your hearing? Or does the joyful reception of the rocky ground, perhaps, ring familiar to you? There's nothing like the enthusiasm of a recent convert. The reality of forgiveness by grace, apart from deserving it or earning it in any way, can create a real emotional high. But what happens when reality rears its ugly head? When anticipated living from victory unto victory isn't realized, when the struggles with temptation continue, and failure and sin are all too real. When hardship and sorrow and suffering and death touch your life. When the questions, "Why, Lord?" and "Where are you in my suffering?" occupy you night and day with never an answer. If your heart, your feelings, your emotions are how you measure God's presence and Spirit working in your life, the day will come when you are sure that He's abandoned you, your faith is futile, and you despair. Does this description ever characterize your hearing? Or do you find that all sorts of anxiety and worry, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear, where you shall live, how you shall face the challenges and changes of life, not least your health, you find that all of these crowd out God's assurance that He is working out all things for your eternal good, and that nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from His love for you in Jesus Christ. Anytime you open the newspaper or turn on the news, the thorns that are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that would choke out the word in your life get a boost of fertilizer. Let the noise of the world distract you from the voice of Christ. And it won't be long before your faith can begin to wither and die. So how is your hearing? Path-like? Rocky? Choked by thorns? Sadly, there isn't anyone whose heart is completely free of any of these characteristics. So what's to be done? Have you ever seen soil till itself, or pick out rocks, or weed out thorns? That doesn't happen, does it? Would that it did. Not only that, but every soil is susceptible to becoming compacted. The freeze-thaw cycles surface rocks in soil where none were previously apparent. Where thorn and thistle are absent, wind and bird introduce them. It's the farmer who sows, who also toils to till and remove rocks and eliminate thorns. God, the sower, does this in your life. God rototills your heart with the law in order to prepare a place for His seed. No one does good, not even one, He thunders. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But, you may attempt to counter. And He says, even your righteous deeds, are like a polluted garment. You are a sinner, He solemnly declares. The soul who sins shall die. Thus, with that sledgehammer of the law, God works to break up and pulverize what had been packed hard. He also uses the word to clear the rockiness that would hinder or prevent deep and mature roots from growing. In order to prepare, He warned in advance, "They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Yet He doesn't stop with a warning. He also promises, "The one who endures to the end will be saved." "In the world you will have tribulation," He warns. And then continues, "But take heart. I have overcome the world. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, No, he answers through his apostle. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thus God works to cause your faith to grow deep and strong in order to immunize you against the temptations that come with tribulation and persecution. As for the thorns of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth, he applies his word to them as well. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? He asks. Man shall not live by bread alone, he warns, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Of course it is, for he says plainly, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. With these and with many other words, the Lord deals with the thorns of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth, so that the good seed of his word can produce much fruit, the faith that saves, the hope that clings to his promises, the love that responds to his love by reaching out in mercy and forgiveness to others. Thus, in his abundant mercy and grace, Jesus not only sows good seed in the soil of your heart, he also works diligently to prepare that soil so that it's ready to receive his word. As a result, when he sows the seed, when his word is spoken to you, it can take root and grow and produce abundant fruit, fruit unto eternal life. One of the church's hymns provides us with a fine summary of this parable, as well as a fitting prayer and response. God's word in Christ is seed, good soil, its urgent need, and it would work in humankind the fertile soil in heart and mind, good soil, a human field, a hundredfold to yield. Which leads us to pray, Lord, plow the trodden way and clear the stone away, tear out the weed and sow the seed. Prepare our hearts, your word to heed, that we good soil may be. Begin, O Lord, with me. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.